Wait. Before you go skipping the intro, I know you guys like doing that. Last year we came out with The Shape of Shadows. This year we're doing Sasquatch and Missing Man. Me and Wes Germer from Sasquatch Chronicles, you know the guy. We went to Ground Zero where he had his Bigfoot encounter and we investigated. We hunted the Bigfoot and crazy stuff happened. If you want to see that documentary, we are doing a world premiere on May 5th. That's Sunday, May 5th. If you want tickets to that event, link is in the description below. Go ahead and check it out. Get your tickets and go ahead and skip the intro now.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg, and I look over, and there are two small, gray entities pulling at me, and they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody, listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. If you want more shows on a weekly basis, we got you covered. Whether you're on YouTube or listening on podcast playing apps, we got you covered. Go to theconfessionalspodcast.com/join to become a member if you want access to the Confessionals Members app. And if you just want to watch the member episodes on YouTube, just hit the join button on YouTube if you're an Android user. If you're an Apple user, you got to go a little few extra steps and you got to hit the link in the description of this episode. It'll take you to where you need to go and you can get all the same access and content. Either place, the website or YouTube, same content, two different locations. All right, friends, MerkelFilms.com is having a new documentary coming soon. Sasquatch and the Missing Man. Me and my team went out to Washington to the Ground Zero location where Wes Germer had his Bigfoot encounters. Very dramatic situation. He hated being up there, but I drug him up there anyways. And you guys are going to be able to see that documentary coming very soon. May 5th, we are doing the live premiere. After May 5th, it will be available on MerkelFilms.com at some point, not right away. But if you want to watch the live premiere, the world premiere, you're going to want tickets, and the tickets are in a link in the description of this episode. You'll be able to purchase those tickets and watch the live premiere with everybody else in person. Well, I guess not in person, like virtual in person. You get what I'm saying. You'll be able to watch it live on the internet interwebs with everybody else. All right, friends, listen. I'm excited about it. I really hope you guys tune in to enjoy the live world premiere of Sasquatch and the Missing Man. And we might have a little few extra bonuses coming for you soon to be announced. Possibly, if logistically, we can work it out. But anyways, we got a great show for you this week. We have CERN coming up today, and this is something that I had no idea about. Like, literally, it was perfect timing. I sat down weeks ago. I had him scheduled even longer than that to record with Pastor Larry Raglan about CERN. And then I scheduled it right away for today. I had no idea that CERN was firing up this week. I had no idea that the eclipse was happening this week. I had no idea that NASA was firing rockets into the sky the same day as the eclipse to curb climate change. I had no idea about any of that. All I did was wanted to do an interview about CERN, and it was just perfect timing. So today we have Pastor Larry Ragland coming on the show to talk about CERN. The conversation is not going to entail the eclipse because I had no idea about it, but it is timely that we are releasing a CERN episode today since CERN is firing up this week. So let's get into Pastor Larry Ragland's conversation with me, talking about CERN, the tunnels opening up, the portals popping open, and the things coming through the portals. Let's get to it right now. All right, today we have Larry Ragland on the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you, Tony, for having me. I am excited to be on the Confessionals.
Hey, man, I'm glad you're here. So I met you at a media conference last August.
Yes,
and we were, I think the way it happened was we were in a back room. It was like a VIP room, and the speakers were there, and somebody said something about Nephilim, and I kind of like sunk my head down. I'm like, oh no, it's happening.
Yes.
I was like, I don't think they said Nephilim per se, but they said something. I was like, I hope these people are ready because I don't know any of them and I don't care if they don't like me.
So. Well, I remember that moment vividly, and I think it was Aliens and Giants. And he mentioned it from the platform, but then he said, "Hey, Tony, are you out there, Tony? Stand up, Tony. Tell us about your podcast."
And
I remember thinking, I got to meet that guy.
Because you know, he goes, "What's your episode this week on?" And I look at Jack because, we planned so far ahead that he's working on things and I'm already weeks in advance. And I look at him and I really didn't know what was going out. And I was like, he's like, "What's it about?" I'm like, werewolves. I was like, I don't know, something. So it was a fun time. And it was Pastor Alan DiDio. And it was a great event. I'll be there again this year.
Me too.
If it's just for one day. Actually, at that time this year, I'm going to be hitting, I'll be three cities, three events I'm speaking at in 6 days. And I'm just like, good Lord. So I don't know how I got myself into this mess, but I got to find my way out. So, but today we're going to talk to you, and, you have the show, The Big Picture, on YouTube, and, you dive into a lot of different things, off topic type things that maybe aren't traditionally covered in, the church realm usually. I remember you talking about, by the way, you're a pastor, just let people know. I remember you talking about on one of your videos at some point, or maybe you were talking to me about how you created the YouTube channel as not like Pastor Larry's outlet on YouTube, but it was like, almost seems like a whole different thing separate from your quote unquote day job of being a pastor. It's like you kind of take the opportunity to go into other things that you maybe wouldn't go into on a Sunday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why I call it The Big Picture, is because many, many years ago when I was going through something regarding my family, I was outside on my lawnmower and just thinking about some things. I was just really telling God about, you know, how rough my life was and how much I'd sacrifice for him, you know, how we do. And, God's just up there just saying, okay, whatever, just go ahead and give it all to me. You ain't sacrificed nothing. And that's when he dropped it into me. This was many years before we started the YouTube channel. The revelation of The Big Picture. He just said, look, you need to become more big picture. And the big picture was, what you're talking to me about is what you can see, hear, and feel with your senses. But what you don't understand is the big picture is there's so much more going on in this world and in your own personal world than what you can see, feel, touch, smell. And that's the spirit realm. So it just sort of dropped the name Big Picture in me, not really even knowing where it was going to go. And then when the pandemic hit, I built a house during the pandemic, crazy as that seems, you know, I've been in ministry now, same church, this October be 30 years since we planted the church. So I got my first grandbaby. I'm sitting on the front porch and I'm just sort of chilling. And I'm like, okay, it's time for me to slow down. And all of a sudden I hear this inside of me. No, you're not going to slow down. You're about to be busier than you've ever been. You're going to start a YouTube channel called The Big Picture, and you're going to delve in a little bit more onto what I told you earlier. You're going to show people that there's so much more going on in this world than what they can see or feel. So the big picture is all about what is actually really going on is really more real than what we can see with our own eyes. So that's the big picture. So yeah, we talk about the Bible, but we also talk about UFOs. We talk about aliens. We talk about portals. We talk about Nephilim. We talk about CERN, all this kind of stuff, because these are things that people are wondering about. People, they're searching for that. And if we don't have the answer from a biblical perspective, they're going to get it from a worldly perspective.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I find it refreshing, because when I started podcasting 7 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot of people like me talking about this kind of stuff. And I say like mean like the Christian type. Yeah. There was some, but it wasn't like it is now. And it's kind of refreshing to see people, because I had kind of gotten butt hurt a little bit early on in the podcasting. I actually stopped going to church because I felt like I was being socially rejected for looking at the world the way I looked at it. And I was laughed at by some people, and I could tell other people didn't take me serious. Yep. And I was just like, you know what? Heck with you guys. I'm out of here. And I walked. And and that was a mistake. But it's just refreshing to see how things have been changing. And I let me ask you this before we get, because we're going to get into CERN today and portals and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I do want to ask you this from your perspective, being on that side of the church when it comes to, you know, I'm in the congregation, you're standing up there in front of people, right? So I perceive that since 2017, so 2017, the disclosure started happening.
Right.
And from my perspective, it almost feels like it's given these leaders in the church the ability to come out and talk about things that they felt uncomfortable about before, or a new perceived venue to how do I say it? It's like, I feel like there's a new interest that wasn't there before. And I don't know if that new interest is almost like because the government's talking about a license to talk about it, or if it's out of obligation, like, okay, they're talking about this, so we need to dive into it and talk about it more as well. But I just feel like there's been this, like I mentioned, like this vamp up of even spiritual leaders talking about these things that didn't seem like it was the case 10 years ago. Do you feel like that? I mean,
Well, I think it goes back to what you're talking about, the rollout of disclosure. Then you also think about, you know, what obviously the viewers and the listeners of the confessionals are very familiar with, predictive programming. So you start thinking about all the fascination that the world has with the paranormal, the supernatural. I mean, think about all the shows that are out there. Well, I mean, a lot of people that watch those shows are people that go to church and people that have a biblical worldview. But it was almost like they were sort of having to watch them in the shadows. It was like they were, I like this. I'm intrigued by this, but I can't let anybody in my church know that I'm watching this, because they'll think that I'm dabbling into something that I shouldn't be dabbling in. And for so long, I think most pastors, and even to this day, most pastors and most church leaders don't want to touch this subject. Now, they want to talk about demons. And a lot of them don't even want to talk about demons, but those that want to talk about demons, that's as far as they want to go. They don't want to talk about the rest of the thing. But I think what's happening for those spiritual leaders, whether there be pulpit, stage people, or YouTube or whatever, that are in the ministry, they feel a sense of empowerment if they are cut out of the mold of, okay, God, I want to know the truth. I want to know what's really going on. I'm not afraid of anything that's a little weird out there, because there's some weird stuff in the Bible. Okay. I mean, there's some really, really strange stuff in the Bible that really is a lot more intense than some of the things you'll see on some of these shows. So for pastors like myself and some others out there, I believe it's a small number, but it's a remnant that to answer your question, I feel like there's just, when we went through the pandemic and all of this, a lot of people walked away. A lot of people walked away from the church. 70% of church-going attenders walked away of the 70%. 70%, think about that. 7 out of 10 that were going to church pre-pandemic walked away. And then of the 70%, 20% came back. So 50% of people that considered themselves going to church have never returned. Well, those that stayed and those and many that were not even in the church that are now coming and saying, look, I have questions about the spirit realm. I have questions. I have friends that are dabbling in witchcraft. I have another friend that had an entity come into their bedroom. I personally have witnessed a UFO, all these kind of things. I thought I saw Bigfoot. I mean, over and over and over again, can I be a Christian and still believe what I saw is real? And I think for those that are really saying, okay, we want to know the truth. And I'm the same way. Look, I'm 56 years old, not ashamed to say it. Proud of how old I am, proud of how long I've been in the ministry. But here's the reality. I'm just now waking up to some things myself. And I've just told God, I was like, okay, I want to know the truth. What is the truth? What do I need to tell people? I don't want to hype them up with just leftover messages that people have been preaching for years. People are seeing something. People are dealing with something. People are encountering. What is it that they're seeing? What is it that they're encountering? And if it's demonic, tell me. If it's something from another dimension, we need to know this, because if we don't have the answer, the world's lining up with their narrative for their answer. And that's, absolutely, I don't know if that's answer to your question, but I feel like there's just an empowerment, but it's not for everybody, because you have to be cut out of a certain mold.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's the longer you, I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole in this conversation, but I just want to piggyback off what you said. There are different types of people that deal with these realms. Okay.
Yes.
And as a person like myself and you, let me just take you out of the picture. As a person like myself, I find this stuff very entertaining. I find it interesting. I find it fascinating. At the same time, I have a spiritual conviction that I live my life by that existed before the show existed. And as you look into these things more and more, you start seeing things that maybe you didn't see before that change your perspectives and understanding on things.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a lie to myself and those around me if I hid what I feel about these topics from the world out of comfortability. And so for me, it starts to transition away from entertainment to, this is a real problem. And right. So to speak of problems, one of the problems we have in the world today is CERN. I want to bring up CERN after, the last 10 minutes or whatever of talking about different things. I want to talk about CERN though, and the realities of what is going on at CERN and what they're doing at CERN. Over the years, I've mentioned CERN on the show. We've done episodes on CERN, and you always tend to get different thoughts and things on what CERN is doing. I know you did a video on CERN and I watched it, and it was one of the first times that I heard somebody talk about CERN that I, like everything you were saying, I was like, yep, that's exactly how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, to kind of lead you into the conversation about CERN, we have here in Tennessee, a particle accelerator that is just on a smaller level as CERN. And when you talk about portals being opened up, I have talked to people who work there who say the same thing. They say that their job is to guard against what comes out of portals. And so it's a very real thing. And I think CERN is the granddaddy of it all. So I want to kind of hand it over to you and give you just a very broad question, which you can take in any way you want and start it off any way you want, which is, what is CERN?
Okay. Well, I think that answer is dependent upon who you ask. If you ask someone in the scientific world, it's this, major scientific experiment colliding molecules and atoms, and you know, this a collider, and it's helping us understand our origins. You know, they recently, you know, discovered the what they believe would be the God particle in all of this, which was just, they believe, just prior to the Big Bang. But for people like me and you and some others, and people who have talked to people who have been there, worked there, researched, people who've retired from there, I'm not doubting, just so you know right now, for the confessionals, viewers and listeners, I'm not doubting that these scientific experiments are going on. I'm not doubting that they're not performing things that are benefiting our scientific understanding. But the reality is this, you know, to answer your question, I have to go back to not really what is CERN as much as why is CERN where it's at? Okay, why was it built there? I mean, it is a big, big deal to me when you really start finding out where it's at and why that matters of what it's doing. And then you understand these people that are talking about ripping the veil, tapping into portals, opening up dimensions and so forth. Why is it important to know where it's at? Well, it is in, half of it's in Switzerland, half of it's in France, but Switzerland is the main reason it's there, because in Switzerland, you have Geneva, Switzerland. Geneva, Switzerland is, in my opinion, one of the most demonic portal places in the world. In fact, I believe that Switzerland, as crazy as it sounds, because when I was growing up as a kid, all I thought about was the Swiss Alps. And, you know, that if I want to go to Switzerland one day and ski down those beautiful Alps, I mean, because all you ever saw was two things about Switzerland. You saw the beautiful Swiss Alps, and you always heard that they were neutral when it came to wars. They never, you know, chose sides and all this kind of stuff. So you never really thought anything about Switzerland. But let me tell you something, Tony, the more and more I started looking into CERN, the more and more I began to get concerned for about where CERN is. And I was like, oh my goodness, because you've got Geneva, Switzerland, which a little information about Geneva, Switzerland. Geneva, Switzerland is where hundreds of major organizations around the world, including the World Health Organization, including the World Bank Association, including next to New York, the biggest United Nations headquarters, is where the Red Cross was formed. All of this happened in Geneva, Switzerland. Then on the other side of this little town, this little country called Switzerland, you've got Davos, which is where the World Economic Forum is, where the narrative of the world, once a year, they all meet there, all the elite, and quite frankly, all the demonic people who's into depopulation, all kinds of things, the demonic agenda. They're both in this little country that supposedly is this innocent little Swiss Alp country. Another thing that you might be shocked to know about Switzerland, and then you got to understand, because where is CERN? CERN has got a little building up top, but where is CERN? It's underground, right? CERN, they have to go deep in the ground to do these things. Like the one that's in Nashville, there's one near Chicago. And I don't know if you know this, but they're building one now that is triple or quadruple the size of the actual CERN in Geneva in China. And now Geneva just put forth a proposal, CERN did, in Geneva to build another. Did you know that? CERN in Geneva. Did you know that? In Switzerland. They've already submitted it. I did a show on it. They've got it. They've got the diagram. And get this, Tony. The CERN that they're building, that they've already set the money aside to build, it is absolutely happening, is bigger than the whole country of Switzerland. It circles almost all of Switzerland and then goes into France as well. So here's my question. I'm getting on the rabbit trail here. Switzerland, did you know this, Tony, is the home of the most underground bunkers in the world. In that little town, that little country of Switzerland, there are 375,000 plus underground bunkers in Switzerland. What? 375,000 plus underground bunkers. It is military, it is corporations, and you can watch videos on YouTube. It's very easy to find where people almost every home in Switzerland has an underground bomb shelter in their house, and many of them are connected. One guy went in and showed a video of one that was, I don't know when it was created, around World War II time. It was big enough to handle tens of thousands of people. He walked in one underground shower that could was a big enough shower for 250 men to shower in that one shower. And there's beds, there's kitchens, there's underground generators all over the nation of Switzerland. And when I begin to find this out, I begin to say, oh, okay, there's more to this. There's more to this. Now, you stop me anytime, brother, because when I get going, it's hard for me to stop. Okay, so as I'm looking at, you know, to understand CERN, you got to go underground. And then you understand when you start looking at Switzerland, you start seeing, brother, there's videos out there. And like I said, all this is easy to find. This is not conspiracy. This is fact. That when the train tunnels were cut through the mountains, they have satanic rituals where they pray to demons and celebrate demons to dedicate these temples, these tunnels in Switzerland. But here's the interesting thing, and then I'll pause and take a breath here to answer the question, what is CERN? We'll delve into that a little bit further. But what a lot of people don't realize is right towards the end of World War II, right when Hitler knew that he was not going to make it, he began to understand this is not, my dream's not going to happen. It is a fact that he was about to enter into Switzerland and take Switzerland, but Switzerland made a deal with Hitler that we will, and by the way, also, let me back up real quick. Not only has it got underground bunkers, but there, all of the Swiss Alps are full of hidden cannons. If you take drones and you fly through there, they're made to look like rocks, and behind these rocks are cannons. And they built all of these thinking that they were going to be attacked by Hitler. Well, Hitler made a deal with Switzerland. And what happened was, that's why all the Swiss banks, people start sending their money there, because it's a secret way of storing money there. And many of those underground vaults store the money. But all of Hitler's money, he sent to Switzerland. And they put it in underground bunkers. But here's the thing. Here's why CERN is so demonic. Here's why they chose this place underground. Many of those 375,000 plus underground bunkers are still active and are still storing many of Hitler's occultic materials that he had. He was heavy into the occult, and they took them out with his possessions. And many people believe that they are still stored deep within the ground of Switzerland. So when you build CERN underground, you're already tapping into a tapestry that is underneath the ground that is saturated with demonic materials already, and the occultic proclamations of probably the most evil man that's ever existed, Hitler. His stuff is still underground. So I believe that just sort of gave them a hotbed place to build, to disguise it as scientific, but also because of what is going on in that nation and underground, and the things that are stored there, gave them an open door, the occult realm, to tap into portals. And many, many people have believed that they have ripped the veil, and they have beings have come in and gone. And as I've heard on your show, human beings are even being taken into other dimensions as well. Woo. All right. Yeah, it's what an answer to what is CERN.
I mean, it's wild to think about. And you know, yeah, listen, I mean, I know if this is your first time ever listening to Confessionals, welcome. It gets weird. But it's like, this is what I'm learning and finding out, is that the transition between this realm and a next, I don't want to say the next, but a next, because I'm not totally sure there's just one. No. The transition between the two, though, is possible. It's a two-way door. It's just most people only have the keys for this side. Mm-hmm. But there are things on the other side that do have keys to go back and forth. We see that traditionally through just traditional hauntings and experiences people are having. But then there is science who is trying to blacksmith their way into having their own key to be able to access the other realm. And I think they already have. I think that that definitely, in my perspective, have, just being honest with what I've been told through people that I know that work at my local Hedron collider.
Yes.
So doesn't everybody have one of those?
Yeah. Yeah.
What you're talking about with the Hitler stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where, if that's true, you should ask the question, why would they not take that stuff out of these bunkers? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't have, like, listen, you don't need to destroy it. You know, that's history. I mean, there's lots of people who would actually pay high dollar amount for that stuff just to collect it. They're personal mm-hmm. collectors of history. They're not occultists. They're just, they love history, and it's a piece of human history that shouldn't be forgotten, right? So at the very least, why would you not take that out of the ground and put it in a World War II museum? You know,
right.
Some kind of museum to show the path of how we got to where we went. And the fact that they leave it in the ground and they mm-hmm. do the things around it, knowing mm-hmm. it's there, you do have to at some point say 1 + 1 = 2, I think.
Without a doubt. And then you can't get away. You can't talk about CERN and the demonic side of it without talking about Davos on the other side of Switzerland. That is Klaus Schwab. This is Agenda 2030. These are the things that the elites, the powerful, and quite frankly, you know, I don't know how much we can say without getting flagged too bad, but, you know, there's certain things that they drink, if you know what I mean, that just they think is going to give them eternal life. And they're sitting in that room once a year in Davos, Switzerland, in the same country. Beneath them in Davos is those tunnels, are those artifacts. And the question you ask is, why would they not remove it? It is because I believe, and by the way, if you're watching from Switzerland, I love you, okay? I'm not saying you're a bad person. I think Switzerland is an amazing place that I would still love to go see. But you got some explaining to do. Switzerland, why you got 375,000 plus underground bunkers? Why are you storing wealth and gold that's being hidden from everyone else, that's being used for bad reasons underground? You got Hitler stuff underground, then you're tapping into portals underground, and then you got Davos over there. So when you put all that together, here's another interesting thing. I know you already knew this, Tony, and I know most people that watch your program, listen to your podcast, already knew this. But it wasn't that long ago when I found this out myself, because it's sort of a hidden in plain sight secret. You know, the question is, who invented the internet? Well, you know, it's Al Gore. Of course, it's Al Gore. No, it's not Al Gore. Al Gore claimed that he invented the internet, but he did not invent the internet. In fact, the internet was invented as a military tool. But the World Wide Web, did you know was invented at CERN? It was invented at CERN, Tony. It was, the World Wide Web was invented by a British programmer in the bottom of when they were building CERN. He needed a way for scientists to communicate. All you have to do is go to Google and say, who invented the World Wide Web and where was the World Wide Web invented? And Google will tell you it was invented at CERN. So you think about this nation. You've got CERN, who's building this in-ground collider and for scientific purposes, but yet the most powerful world-altering invention we're using it right now is the browser, the ability to take that data and put it in a browser and communicate with each other, show pictures and all of that, was invented at CERN in Geneva, Switzerland. So then you think about, it's called the web. He called it the web. Well, think about a web. When you really want to go down that rabbit hole, you know, a spider makes a web not to kill you, but to trap you. And then you get trapped in the web, and the more you fight, the more it just wraps you more around you. And then eventually you give up, and then the spider comes in and gets you. So you start really putting that, like you said, 1 + 1 = 2 together. You got Geneva, you got all the global companies in the world that are based there in Geneva. Listen to this. the World Health Organization, the World Trade Organization, the World Banking Organization, 33 international organizations, global organizations are headquartered in one little town of Geneva, Switzerland. And right beneath all of these world powers is CERN. And at the base of that, the World Wide Web was invented. And then you got Davos on the other side declaring the narrative and the tool to push the narrative to program the whole world to line up with the agenda of the underground demons was invented at CERN. Come on, y'all. Switzerland, you got some explaining to do.
Well, you know, I imagine it's kind of like the same thing where here it's like we have a lot of stuff going on that it's just it's outside the normal person's reach. I had been in contact with a journalist in Switzerland. This is going now. It's probably around the time of 2020 when everything kind of went real crazy. And this journalist, I don't know what the laws and all that stuff are over in Switzerland, but they reached out to me on a private messaging app. And I forget how we got connected. It was a really roundabout way. And they were trying to organize with me a way to dump information that they have been trying to release. And every turn that they had taken, they were being shut down within by their own government. Yeah. And I remember it struck me as pretty desperate because they're reaching out to me, and I'm like, especially back then, I mean, I was like, I don't know what I can do to help you. But yeah, I remember our communication was getting shut down. Wow. And they'd pop up somewhere else. And it was like, they were just like, they would talk to me, and then the account would be dead. And then I forget what social platform it was, something like that. I think there was a social platform that popped up real briefly, and they were like, oh, this is the next Facebook. I'm like, oh, let me hop on there, you know, check it out. And they were on there. It was just, it was like this weird thing where, I don't know what ever happened to the person. They're gone. Wow. But they were trying to blow the whistle on what was going on within CERN, or not, I don't want to say CERN, within Switzerland, but with what you're laying out, it seems like CERN is not necessarily an individual entity that we have to be concerned with, but also it's an entity that mirrors many entities, whether it's these global elites to these different governments. And the fact that we have not just one of these, but we have several, and I think there are several in this country in America. I just know of the one in Tennessee, but you mentioned about China opening one up that was three times larger, massive. I mean,
then you have to ask the question, Tony, why do we need more than one CERN? I mean, I have to keep asking myself, if the purpose of CERN is to go down deep underground, this massive footprint that it has, and you're colliding these atoms, these molecules, so much so that you supposedly achieved what you would call the God particle there at the CERN, the original CERN, the big CERN in Geneva. Why do you need one in Nashville? Why do you need one in Chicago? Why do you need one in Chicago? If everybody's doing the same thing, trying to achieve it, why do you need so many CERNs? And then if you really allow yourself to think about it from the perspective that we're talking about it, you begin to realize that probably they're not just, you know, the thing about this. Okay. In Tennessee, is the ground so much different in Tennessee that maybe you got a better shot of finding this particle in Tennessee and then this one in Chicago and then this one in Beijing? No, it's got to be more of this is actually opening portals. It's got to be about portals.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at maybe like these ancient structures, so like Stonehenge, and people talk about there's different Stonehenge locations and they're all strategically placed. And I don't know the specifics of it, but there is a place in Michigan. Actually, it's underneath one of the Great Lakes. Somebody we don't know where it is underneath the Great Lakes. And if anybody understands, like, Great Lakes are huge. I mean, they're like an ocean themselves. But there's somebody that discovered, and like, not somebody like a me somebody, but somebody that would actually have tools, and maybe let's just call them an archaeologist. I don't know if that's their title, but they somebody of that kind of profession. They discovered underneath the water a large man-made stone structure that was extremely similar to Stonehenge.
Wow.
And, you know, the idea is like, well, how'd that get down there? How'd they build that down there? But the reality is more than likely it was built on top of ice. And when the ice melted, it went underwater. But the fact that we have a Stonehenge type structure here in the Americas underwater, but here in the Americas that mirrors what's over the pond. I'm drawing a blank of what country it's in. It's in the UK. I don't know if it's Wales or what, but the fact that we have that, is that something maybe similar to the idea of maybe the modern Stonehenge being particle accelerators, certain facilities being strategically placed throughout the world. Speaking of that Stonehenge under the water, the reason why we don't know where it's at is because the person who discovered it is refusing to give the location of it. There's pictures of it. You can look it up online, but he's refusing to give a location of it because he doesn't want it being destroyed. And that's probably pretty wise. Yeah, I mean, it seems like maybe that, like, we're reinventing the wheel. We see these ancient structures, and you look at Stonehenge. Maybe Stonehenge looked completely different when it was actually in operation or whatever it is. And we're just dealing with more of a nowadays version of that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree totally. And you think about pyramids. You think about, you know, how these pyramids, very similar pyramids, are spread out on all the continents all around the world when they had no idea, supposedly, that they, you know, were in communication with each other. How in the world does this one mimic in South America look just like what's in different places of Africa and in different regions like that? So then you really go down the road of, you know, ancient civilizations and so forth. But I just keep going back to the CERN aspect. The CERN question is, I mean, my simple mind, I'm not a scientist. I'm not real smart when it comes to things like this, but my simple mind just asks the simple questions. And the simple question is, if your agenda of CERN is to create and find all these scientific experiments when it comes to the colliding of these atoms, and you've achieved just about everything you could possibly achieve in finding the things. You spent billions and billions and billions of dollars to do this. Why do you need another one? Why do you need a bigger one? Why do you need to go right back on top of Switzerland? And I've got the picture that I'll send it to you that they've released, that CERN's corporation released. This was not made up by anybody else, of the actual footprint of the new CERN that's going to be created. It goes, it almost touches Davos. It circles the entire nation of Switzerland. And it's going to take, they say, you know, 20 years, 15, 20 years to build. I mean, my goodness, think of the money that's going to take, the manpower that's going to take. For what, Tony? For what? To collide more atoms? To get more particles? Come on. Look, use your simple mind and ask a simple question. When you add up all the CERNs around the world and all the ones that are planned, you're talking trillions. You're talking trillions of dollars that are being spent underground for something that 99.999% of human beings will never be able to see. It's underneath them. Why? What are you really doing? And that's why I believe that it's not really about scientific experiments. It is about portals. It is about veils. It is about opening things up. In predictive programming, you know, if you follow that theory, one of the things that many in the elite world say is a part of their rule is they begin to have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it, so to desensitize yourself. And you think about, well, there's an entire generation that's open to portals. All they have to do is watch Stranger Things. When you watch Stranger Things, come on, that place where they tapped into that portal is like a miniature version of CERN. I mean, it's CERN. It's the veil opens up and it changes everything. And then there's an upside down world, which is another dimension. I mean, and but now to us, when people talk like we're talking, people just sort of laugh it off and say, yeah, you've been watching too much TV. You're watching Stranger Things, and now you're just making up this whole narrative because you saw Stranger Things. No, it's the opposite. Stranger Things has come out because of the real thing, to try to prepare the world for the fact that there are portals opening up all over this world. Why? Why? You know, when you're a student of scripture, you go all the way back to, you remember when Jesus was taking his disciples right before he was going to be crucified? The Bible says specifically that when he came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he stopped and he asked him, who do people say that I am? Now, I want you to listen to me. Don't check out because you think a preacher's about to start preaching. This is powerful. This has to do with CERN, what I'm about to tell you in the Bible. It's going to help you understand what CERN is doing. Who do you say that I am? They said, well, some say you're this prophet. Some say, who do you say that I am? They said, we believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, let me tell you something. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Many people that's raised in churches heard that term. But until you go to Israel, you don't fully understand what was happening. I've been to Israel. And in Caesarea Philippi, at the base of a mountain called Mount Hermon, is a giant cave. And in that cave, there is a stone pillar that comes right up in the middle. I have video of it. I was standing right there. That has been there since Bible days. It is carved out in the middle, and there's stains all over it from fire. And quite frankly, if I could be so bold as to say blood, because that's where the sacrifices happen. It was known as the gates of hell. It was known at, we would call the gates of hell would be the portal of hell. It was known as a portal moment, a place. It's where Zeus, the temple of Zeus was at, the temple of Pan, where all kinds of pagan demonic worship would happen. And he stood right there at this cave that was known as the gates of hell when he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he made sure that he waited till he stood at the portal, what was known in his day as the portal of hell, to say, I know you're scared to death to be here. I know your parents told you to stay away from this because of all that happens right here at the base of this mountain. But I brought you here to tell you, we have something in me, meaning Jesus, that's bigger than this. Then, Tony, what's really wild, that's at the base of Mount Hermon. It was a 6-day journey before the Bible says that he goes to the top of the highest place. And that is what is known as the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm not going to preach that right now. But why you need to know that is because all through history, all demonic portals, one of two things happened. They went underground in caves, or they found the highest place and put their altars on the highest place. The highest place, the highest point in all of Israel is Mount Hermon. The highest place of all places is Mount Hermon. And it is in the book. Now watch this. It's not in the 66 books of the Bible. It's not what's known as canonized, but there is a commentary. Many people believe it. Many that watch this have read the book of Enoch. And in the book of Enoch, it emphatically says that the watchers, the demons, the fallen that would become the fathers of the Nephilim and all of that, all of you know what that is, they came down on Mount Hermon. It emphatically says it. It's the high place. Well, listen to this, Tony. I don't know if you know this. If you Google this, and I challenge everybody to Google this, Google, what is the highest manned, meaning there's people there, United Nations facility in the world? Do you know where it's at, Tony? It's on top of Mount Hermon.
Are you serious? They put it on Mount Hermon?
It's on the top of Mount Hermon. The highest, and it's all you gotta do is Google it and you'll see. Just type in, what is the highest manned United Nations facility in the world? And it will say Mount Hermon. And when you go to the top of Mount Hermon, where the watchers came down, where the Nephilim began, the United Nations built a building right on top of where the watchers came down. You want to tell me that's not a portal? And that's also the place where Jesus stood and Moses and Elijah came down and talked to him, a heavenly portal. beneath it, a demonic portal. That's a hotbed place in the world. So portals are in the Bible. Portals is not something new that people just started talking about when the internet came out. No. Yeah. They are open places, and Jesus knew that. He took them to the gates of hell, and then he took them to the highest place and said, I'm greater than anything that comes through these portals. Wow.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing. You're Googling. You're checking me. Come on, check me out.
No, I was taking notes and stuff.
I love it. I want everybody to watch this to Google this. Because it's easy to find. When I found out that the highest United Nations manned facility in the world is on top of Mount Hermon, it made me a believer in portals more than anything I've ever done. Is that crazy?
Yeah, no, it's wild. It's wild. I feel that's something I didn't know. And it just kind of makes things kind of fall in line. And you're speaking about Mount Hermon and the portal there, and then you talk about up high and down low. Mm-hmm. And one thing with the down low, CERN having the tunnel ceremony that they had.
Oh,
I don't remember when it was. It was years ago, probably like 2016, 2017. Mm-hmm. I know it was around the time I started the podcast, and there's so much, you know, symbolism there, but during and I don't know much about what I'm about to say. This is all kind of new to me, but there apparently are, let's just call them nine kings. Now I'm talking to kings as in like little g gods. And I don't have the proper terminology, but apparently throughout history, there have been these king types that have been prevalent throughout history. And there's a guy named Chad Riley who is planning his next documentary and tracking these ancient gods throughout history. What I find interesting is, given just that idea of it, during the building of CERN, there were nine miners who died throughout the building of CERN. Mm. And those nine miners were paid tribute during the ritual ceremony of the tunnel opening.
Yes.
And so I'm sitting here and, you know, you can say, oh, well, that was a really nice gesture that they remembered the nine people who died during the building of it. And just let's not forget the fallen. Or knowing what we at least what we think we know about CERN and what's going on there, could the tunnel opening ceremony been some type of ritual to usher in the nine gods into the modern era all at one time? It's something that I find deeply concerning, and that ritual, that tunnel opening ceremony ritual, and when anybody who watches it, you can't walk away from it and say it wasn't a ritual. Like
absolutely.
Like you watch that and it gives you icky vibes.
Oh, yes.
And if you want to say that it's not a ritual, then you have to say it's not a ritual at the same time acknowledge that CERN has done rituals on their property. There's that video that came out of them doing the ritual on their lawn, and they didn't deny it wasn't real. They denied that it was them being serious. It was them saying I think they came out and said that they were just clowning around, joking. Like that's, again, I've said this before.
Why? About
the scientists at my local particle accelerator, when they said that they openly in 2019 said they were looking for the mirror universe. When we threw our hands up and said what, they said, oh, we were joking. Scientists don't have a sense of humor.
No.
So I'm sorry. Two particle accelerators, they're both playing jokey with the occult. No. I don't think so.
No.
And
no.
So when you see that they did that, and the video comes out of them doing this circle ritual on their front lawn. We know that they have Shiva out there as well.
Yes.
To say that it's a stretch to say that that tunnel ceremony was a ritual, I don't think is a stretch at all. The fact that they're willing to, let's just say the very minimum, joke about doing rituals, I mean, come on. Like, when's the last time you went into your place of employment and that day they all decided to joke around and play a satanic ritual? Like, let's just
It wasn't just satanic. If you go all the way back inside the tunnel before they went outside for the ceremony, for the really crazy stuff, when they's climbing up the walls and had all the Baphomets and all that inside the tunnel, they were doing some very lewd and disgusting things to each other. I mean, it was like they were simulating, if you know what I'm talking about, while other people's just sitting there watching, which is all what happens in ritualistic events to Baal and many other little G's, false gods. That's what they did. And so, but here's the thing, from what I understand, and I may be wrong on this, I'm sure that there's exceptions to the rule, but in modern time, Tony, they do that with every tunnel that they have ever done in Switzerland. Why? Why in this cute little, wonderful, sweet little Swiss Alp ski lodge nation do you feel like you can't just open a train tunnel without having ritualistic, demonic activities coming out of the mountain, coming out of the dirt? When that little country has over 375,000 underground bunkers, you have Hitler's occult. No telling if you have Hitler's occult stuff, what else stuff do you have in storage down there underneath the ground? And then you have CERN, and it goes on and on and on and on. You begin to realize, guys, come on. It don't even take a conspiracy theorist to even begin to think this way. It just takes a little common sense. When you start really looking at the vision of CERN, this is what we're trying to accomplish, you ask the simple questions. Well, okay, then why do we need more? Why can't we make just one big one and just go ahead and make the big one right there in Switzerland, pour all our money, all the countries come together, and let's just all find it right here. Is there something in the soil in Canada? Is there something in the soil in Illinois? Is there something in the soil underground in Nashville? Is there something underground in China? Because you have to ask the question. It's not like we want to spend trillions of dollars to simply duplicate what's already been done. It must be, Tony. I really believe that, as I can emphatically say, it must be. That just like with Mount Hermon, that there were things that happened there. There are places in the world, just like what you were talking about, Stonehenge, different Stonehenges around the world, pyramids around the world, monuments around the world. It has to be. Why all of a sudden, I'm sure you've seen this, strange monoliths are just appearing around the world. I mean, just in the middle of the night, who's installing them? They're putting these monoliths. I saw a picture the other day, just last week. One just appeared on a beach. I forgot where it was, in some country, overnight. Nobody knows who put it there. It's a giant monolith that's there. Why? What are they getting ready for? Why is every major city in the world has a monolith, including Washington, D.C., and so many other cities in our own country has the monoliths that are in Egypt. Why? Why is there Stonehenge everywhere? Why is there now CERNs everywhere? It must be that they are preparing for something. They are preparing for something. Now, we keep going back because of who I am. We keep going back to Scripture. There are certain watchers that came down on Mount Hermon that are now being locked underneath the ground. They are in prison underneath the ground that the Bible tells us one day they're going to be released. What if the demonic realm, what if the devil thinks, I don't want to wait to let God loose them. Well, we're going to use man to try to tap into that dimension and set those watchers free before their time. I don't think they can go against what the Word of God says. I know they can't. But that's how stupid the devil is. The devil can think that he can eventually override. So I'm beginning to think that these CERNs, just like in the show Stranger Things, is their mindset is, we can do this ourselves. We don't need God. We don't need all of this. But there are things in demonic entities that we need to help us carry out our agenda that are locked away in the earth. Could it be that CERN is the demonic attempt to rip that veil and set those forces free to freely come into our realm? I'm just asking a question.
You're doing more than asking a question, sir. No,
Stranger Things is real. I remember when I first kind of started coming to that conclusion and understanding, I don't remember what episode it was, but I remember like the first time I said it on a recording, I was like, oh boy, here we go. I'm going to say something. Like, there's different things that you say throughout the existence of your show. You remember, you're just like, okay, this is leveling up. This is the next level. This is where we're going.
Yep.
It was like, episode 4 was my first Nephilim episode, and it was like a slow trickle effect from there. But I got to a point where I was like, anyways. So I think what's going on is that, so we're talking about these different locations throughout the world. And there's a real chance that there is, that they are strategic, and they're yeah. mapping the world with these facilities to to do something pretty dramatic, to open up something, to release something. What that something is, I think it could be a lot of different types of things, a lot of different types of entities. And you know, maybe that kind of goes into a good question here as to what could be coming through. I do believe that there are active preparations by humans and entities to prepare for a coming war.
Yes.
And I think it's a very real thing. I had a guy on from Canada a little bit ago. I had him on for 2 episodes in a row because he just had, he had so many things I wanted to talk to him about. And, I remember in the second recording, I got to a point where I think these were member episodes. I got to a point with him where I kind of interjected with him because what he was describing was exactly what I would talk about, but it didn't seem like he was connecting dots. And when I brought this information to him, he's like, I never thought of it that way. He's in communication with entities that are using him. He's gone through operations in another realm. And it was to prepare, they're preparing for a coming war. They said to him, we're preparing for a coming war that we know we're going to lose, but we're doing everything we can to thwart what's coming, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, you understand what's going on here, what entities you're talking to. And he never really connected the dots to it. Mm-hmm. But he's not the only one. I've been in contact with several people who have had interactions with these other realms, and the communication that's being relayed to them is that there is something coming. And yes. Most of the people that I talk to are very confused as to what their experiences are. They're not perceiving it as a dire thing like I would. And given the topic of conversation that we have today and the fact that portals are being opened at these locations.
Yes.
You said several times about the demonic. When I think about other realms and things that exist there, and I come from the monster realm. I come from a lot of things, right? Well, I don't come from any realms. I don't come from any realms. Like, that's bad. That's some bad wording. But I come from, you know, discussing monsters and creatures, and I talk about these things coming, piercing veils and coming through from, but from where? And so do you think that, and you don't have to agree with me on this, but for me, I look at this idea of portals and opening them up and things coming through. I don't think of just demons. I don't think of just fallen angels. I'm starting to not even like the name of fallen angels. I almost want to like call them the rebelled or something like that. Like fallen almost has an implication to me of like they fell as an accident. It wasn't an accident. It was an absolute rebellion. And but I don't think it's just those two things. Like I mean, this guy that I was talking to, he said that he was interacting with these upright walking dogs in this other realm. And they conveyed to him that there was a war, an ancient war. Listen, this is trippy. There was an ancient war that happened a long time ago when the continents were together. And it was between them and these feline cat entities, upright walking cat, and these two different types of war. And then you're like, oh, cat versus dog. Okay, got it. Cartoon zone. But here's the crazy thing. They said that the war kind of came to an end when the continents shifted, when abruptly there was water separating them. And then, so you're thinking, okay, all right, so the Pangea, let's just go the scientific route. Pangea, yeah,
right.
Something happened. Let's forget about Noah's flood. Let's just say an asteroid hit the earth and all of a sudden there was oceans and there was a separation, right? Well, he said that these upright walking dog beings were here in like the Americas. And so like you're thinking, okay, so what's on the other side? Middle East. What's commonly talked about in the Middle East? The jinn. And the common description of the jinn is they appear to before you as a cat, as a large cat. And so you start thinking about these things and the fact that they're operating in other realms. Are dog men demonic, or are they hybrid creatures that have abilities that we physically don't have the ability to, because they come from an evil origin of maybe offspring of the rebelled or the offspring of Nephilim themselves? Like, could it be that Nephilim, the offspring of fallen angels, are the ones that did the defiling and created these other things? And I don't know. I'm just here asking the question, like you said.
Well, you know, okay. So here's my response to that is yes. I mean, the answer is yes, they come from another realm. They can manifest any different way possible. But when you, and there again, people watching may not have this kind of worldview, but when you have a biblical worldview, you look at it, you have to look at everything through the lens of the Bible. And what we have in the original story of creation, we have God giving man, this flesh, dominion here on this earth. And that every creeping thing is what it says that creeps on the earth. Every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth is subject to us. We have dominion over it. So that the Bible says that angels desire to look in upon the things of man. It implies in scripture that they're almost envious of man because man has something that no other part of creation has ever had, and that they were created in the image of God and that God walked with man in the garden. So in the spirit realm has access to all three heavens. You have the atmospheric heaven, which the Bible talks about is our clouds and what we would call our atmosphere. Then you have the cosmic heaven, which is everything that's out there, as vast as it is. And then you have the place heaven. So there's three heavens. Well, the spirit realm has access to all three of those realms. We do not on our own. We have access here, but we have authority here. That's why the Lord Jesus had to come and become one of us here, because that was his plan. He had to die as one of us here because of what he's made. So that is, in my opinion, from a biblical worldview, you can be Dogman, you can be Bigfoot, you can be an angel that just appears as an angel. You can be some hideous monster creature. But the reality is this, when you come out of that dimension, wherever that dimension is, and come into this dimension, you have to take on the form of something to actually be able to carry out something. And ultimately, I believe, whether you are any of those entities, your ultimate goal is to influence the one that has dominion to do what you want them to do and to believe your narrative. Because if they're going to get anything accomplished here, that's why I believe, going back to CERN again, while you're tapping in all this kind of stuff, notice the people from the entities from the other realm is not building the CERNs, because they don't have the right to build the CERN here. It has to be a man, it has to be humans, it has to be men and women. We build them, And when we build them and when we set up stones and when we do these things, we are the only one that has the right to give them permission to come into our realm. So we have nobody to blame but ourselves when these entities, in whatever form there are, they've taken on, whatever their origins are, because I'm with you. I agree with you. I'm beginning to be open more and more and more to not just demonic. That's just sort of a umbrella I throw them all under. I don't mean that they're demons. Yeah. I mean, it comes from that demonic realm is what I mean, is whatever they are. I don't know what they are. I firmly believe that they're very real and that many of these ancient stories can be true, but also believe many of them could be lies and manipulative things because what are they really trying to do? The ultimate goal is to get us to believe that narrative to help them carry out their agenda. And that's why I believe, and this is a whole nother show here, I know, but that's why I believe that in the midst of all of this going on, Tony, we have the beginning of the rollout of the alien UFO disclosure. And our government is now talking about it. It's just becoming more mainstream, because ultimately I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a chaotic global event, whether it be in the natural realm, whether it be in a war, whether it be just something massively bad is going to happen globally. And the answer and the savior is going to be some kind of entity, probably in supposed alien form, is going to appear and is going to tell us the truth. There, I say that in quotation. And that truth is, listen, we've been working behind the scenes, underground bunkers, underground facilities and headquarters with you humans for all these years. But now it's come time that we have to come out of secret and we have to tell you the truth about who you really are. We are the ones that seeded you. We are the ones that planted you. You don't have a creator up there in the universe somewhere. It's us. And we've been quietly behind the scenes trying to manage you, but you can't manage yourself anymore. So we're going to expose ourselves and tell you that we are your creator and we are your salvation. We have the cure to cancer. We have the cure to war. We have the cure to the climate. We're going to save it all. And I believe government leaders are going to put them forth. Religious leaders are going to put them forth, and they could take on many different types of forms. But I believe ultimately the goal is to take humanity to the place where we put our faith in the entities that are coming from that other dimension. And more, you're seeing it, Tony, more and more people are open to that. There is shocking how many people would listen to an entity explain the origin of mankind versus having enough faith to believe that God did it. So I believe this is all a part of the grand plan of disclosure. And it sounds crazy, but I've got this vision in my mind. I'm saying it was a God vision, but I just keep seeing this picture of one day seeing the podium of the President of the United States or the United Nations, and there being this simulcast video all around the world where someone says, listen, I don't know how to explain this to you other than to just introduce this entity, whatever this being, our friend, and they're going to walk to that platform. Whether is it AI generated? Is it AI video generated? Is it cloning? Is it real? Probably more than likely, I believe it's coming, and the whole world is going to buy into this narrative. And so when you start seeing that's where we're going, it's easier to start rolling back to the question of CERN, to the question of why are we tapping in? Why are people more and more and more? Think about from when you started your podcast to now, how many more people are seeing entities? It's like, it's becoming an epidemic. Am I right? I mean, it's like, yeah. It's on the next level. Why? Because the more now they feel empowered. They feel empowered. No one's standing up against them. Nobody's exposing the truth except for shows like yours. And so the grand scheme is we read the back of the book, we win, but it's going to get very, very interesting over the next few months and even years if we're still here. And you better know who you are in God.
Yeah. It's it's a real mental mind game that's being played right now on a lot of sides. And I can see the path of confusion for people.
Yes.
And I think the people that listen to my show, they hopefully give credence to the fact that there are really weird things that happen in this world that traditionally have not been acknowledged to be possible and real, and that's changing. Yes. And hopefully with that mindset that's changing, because we don't know how long until all this happens. I mean, it seems like there's a sense of urgency right now, but time moves on its own pace. I'm hoping that as time moves forward and these new generations of people come along, parents like myself, I mean, I have young children, I hope that we start raising the kids to, no matter what your world view is, that this stuff is real.
Yes.
And you have to pay it mind. And I think the whole, telling our kids that when they come in the room saying, hey, there's a monster in my room, that we stop saying, no, there's not. You had a bad mm-hmm. dream. Because the reality is there could be just a bad dream happening, but there could be an entity in your kid's room that's communicating with you, with them when you close the door at night and Absolutely. They're terrified.
Yes.
And I think I saw this on I don't remember what platform, but somebody was talking about this. And, he said that when you do that, if your kid is actually encountering these entities, you're going to, dampen and, dull their spiritual awareness, their spiritual gifts, their abilities, spiritually. And, because they're going to brainwash themselves to believe that it's not real, and they're going to train themselves not to see it. I just feel like, piggybacking off what you said, the reality of the situation, where this could all be going. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, man, I'm imagining the Senate floor, somebody standing there in a suit, and all of a sudden they turn into a lizard person. You know, like, I'm like,
exactly.
Who knows?
Exactly.
And so if we could raise up the next generation to be more understanding of the realities of this world, and the fact that what we have been taught to be just science fiction is not science fiction. It's yeah. actually real.
Yes, it is.
I think generally we'll move forward. I think the truth will sift itself out over time. I think that's the case. And so I think we just need to come to the point where we're more understanding of how real this stuff is. And kind of start there at the baseline. I could talk to you a lot about a lot of different things that you had said, but I'm going to bring it in for a landing. Do you have any final thoughts on CERN and anything that you want to kind of dump before we run out of here? I don't want to leave any meat on the bone if you have anything else you wanted to say.
Well, the only thing that I would reiterate about CERN is, I mean, I was already concerned about CERN. But when I saw a couple of months ago that they had proposed a budget to build another CERN, not a CERN in Los Angeles, but another one in Switzerland that was three and four, maybe four times the size of the one they have now in Switzerland. Knowing what I knew about Switzerland, I'm like, there's only one reason they're doing that. It's because they know something that, quite frankly, most people don't know is coming. It's big. If CERN is really, and I put it in quotations, of which I believe, but this is my opinion, not really about scientific experiment, but about tapping into dimensions, ripping the veil, inviting entities in our world, then you only have to then realize if the plan is to have a bigger one in the same place, what are they trying to do with that one? What do they think this one did, but is limited in doing, that they need one three and four times the size? If they really are inviting entities through a veil with the current CERN, Why can't they just keep coming through that one? Why do they need one massively bigger in the same area? What are they trying to pull through with that one? And so then you start really going down that road and you really start thinking, okay, what is coming? There is a war coming. There's a war in the natural realm coming. When you talk about China, Russia, and all these, this, we're going to war. Okay. It is going to happen. But the Bible says the natural first teaches us the spiritual principles, not the spiritual first teaches us the natural. God uses the natural. This is biblical. He says things like, I want you to be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Well, he don't want you to be a tree. He wants you to look at the natural, study the tree planted by the waters, and learn from those principles to be able to plant yourself, have deep roots. When drought comes, make sure you're planted by water so you can survive the storm. So he takes natural to teach us spiritual principles. So when knowing that, you look at what's happening with CERN, you look at what's happening on the global scene, you look at what's happening with the elites and the agenda, and the escalation that is very obvious that we're going towards a world war. Well, if we see the signs that we're going towards a world war in the natural, then what in the world is coming in the spiritual? So I believe that we need to have our head on straight and understand, take care of your family, have provisions for what is coming, because bad things are coming in the natural. But if all you do is have food in the basement and extra water to prepare for what's coming in the natural, but you have not prepared your family for the spirit realm, that's much, much worse. You're not going to make it. So as you said, you know, we got to learn how to talk to our kids. Okay. We don't want to feed fear, but we want to tell them, we want to listen to them, because many of them are having experiences that we just brush off. And like you just said, it's messing up their worldview. And when we brush it off, TikTok is embracing it. Facebook is embracing it. And YouTube is embracing it. And if they're not getting wisdom from us, they're going to get it from the world. And last but certainly not least, understand this. This is not to scare you to death. This is to excite you, especially as a believer, because in God's infinite wisdom, in his entire timeline of events, you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 6, you start learning about Nephilim, you go to Mount Hermon, all that's some weird stuff. But wait a minute. The final generation is going to see things that nobody else has ever seen. When is that final generation? Is it us? Is it our kids? Is it our grandkids? I don't know, but I can tell you this. He has no plan B. If it is us, then he's relying on us to have our eyes open, to be awake. We close every one of our shows on the big picture saying we ain't woke, but we are certainly awake, because we want to be awake. And that's what shows like Confessionals Podcast and others like this are doing, to wake you up to the real world, not just the paranormal world, but the supernatural world. There is an enemy. There are good things in the spirit realm and there are bad things in the spirit realm. And you need to be able to know which is which. That's why you need your eyes open with the correct worldview.
That's Larry Ragland from The Big Picture. Thank you very much for being here, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you made it this far, guess what? I'm assuming we all survived the eclipse of 2024, the dire situation that NASA was shooting rockets in the sky. If you're watching this, I think we're safe now. And I hope you enjoyed that episode. And until next Tuesday, stay safe, take care, and remember. Oh, and share the show too. But until next Tuesday, stay safe, take care, and remember. The truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off.
I'm feeling what Shaxxas does to sin. We just love us toxic and we binge. Think we're free when we're on the fringe. But we're lost, yeah, we're lost, yeah, we're lost. Ropes full of death and bones. For
Jesus prayed in the garden while his friends slept. We're just broken pieces to the gold and no missteps. I'm here to break down all your idols, ritualistic. If you don't like it, I don't speak in euphemistic terms. The world is run by Charles Montgomery Burns. They keeping it hooded like CERN. They've done it in thirds before the earth was occurred. And all the friction I'm getting is warranted when your chambers don't echo. The insurance needed for what I be saying don't come from progressive or geckos. And why are you popping Prosecco if you ain't putting in labor? I'm taking shots of espresso. Every second I favor more than the last. We never get a return on time lost with the divine laws. But people looking to wrap it like tacos with lime sauce. Hey, I never cared too much what they saying. Matter of fact, what I'm saying, I ain't here to explain it. On the levels all they see, but they don't see my creator. Campaign of politicians for your souls, no debate. But after the next, I'm calling them Benedict Arnold, I got me a chopper. Most of our collars are blue, most of us can't even afford one. Lining up for new iPhones and Jordans. It ain't our blessings that we praying for misfortunes. On others, on our socials, feeling so important. I'm breaking you down, ain't here to make you feel comfortable. Just avowing the opposite sex while creating the monsters of hotness. These hells we create for ourselves, timelines are nothing but cells.
Shadows dance on the cave from our masters. Fires closing in behind us, it don't matter. We'll be sensing through the flicker, hear the laughter. And we just think that it's normal in the past. With the flame.